Well, Genesis 42, we want to talk a little bit about conscience. Verse 1, when Jacob saw there was grain in Egypt, and Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? Why don't you go down there? And why didn't they? They were quite smart guys. Why not? This is the obvious thing to do. Everybody else is doing it. But they didn't. And Jacob, an old man now, has to push his sons to do this. Why didn't they? Why were they sitting there looking at one another and not doing the obvious? Going down to Egypt and buy corn. Well, they would have heard the stories that had come back from Egypt, because all the other peoples around them were going down there, that there was a kind of Hebrew guy there who had interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And this had gone on for some time, and as the guy had said, there had been 7 years of amazing famine, and this fellow had gathered the food up, and now whoever came down and bowed before him was sold food. The whole thing would have just stirred up in their deep subconscious the ideas of Joseph, whom they had sold into Egypt, who had also had dreams about them bowing down to him. And why do they all sit in silence looking at one another and not going down to Egypt? Quite clearly, on the deep level of subconscious, there was a feeling that this may be Joseph. They're in a bad situation, as you see, particularly the second time they go down there. Their cattle had died for the most part, the land was parched. They were actually really risking death by not going down there. There was a strong reason why they didn't go down there quickly, and why Jacob has to sort of prod them to go down there. And so when they do come down the second time, Joseph makes himself known to them. And Stephen picks that up in Acts 7:13, and he says that Joseph was made known to his brethren the second time. And he mentions that because I think his idea is, yes, the first coming of Jesus to the Jews, they did not accept him, but the second time they shall recognize him. But the first time Jesus came, did they really not realize that this was the Messiah? Well, they did. I mean, Jesus cried out once and said, you both know me, and you know whence I am. That is from God. You know this. In his parable, he has them saying, this is the heir, come let us kill him. And he phrases that very much in the language of the brothers seeing Joseph coming afar off, wearing the coat of many colours, and they say, look, this is him. This dreamer comes. And they see him from afar off and they say, let us kill him. So Jesus builds that into his parable. So did the brothers know this was Joseph or not? Well, they did on one level, I'm suggesting, on the deep level of subconscious conscience. But on another level, they genuinely didn't. And they had deceived themselves that Joseph is dead. And they'd repeated that lie so often that they kind of believed it, even when they have absolute truthfulness elicited from them, they still come out with a story, one of our brothers died. They have told that lie so often that it's just become part of their narrative of life, that, yeah, we had a younger brother, Joseph, but, he got killed, because that's the lie they told of their father. And yet beneath that lie, and beneath that self-persuasion, that very strong belief in that narrative, there was this subconscious sense of conscience about Joseph, that this actually is Joseph. I mean, when he puts them in the order of their birth when they dine with him, I mean, really, that was pretty well telling them that, look, I know all about you. I'm Joseph. And he gives them a number of little hints. And when you wonder why he goes through this elaborate kind of set of accusations with them, I think it was to elicit absolute truthfulness. You know, he says, you're liars, you're spies. You just come down to spy out. You don't want to buy food, you're just spies. You're planning an invasion from the north. And they say, no, your servants have come to buy food. He was trying to elicit from them total honesty. And I think he's doing this in the hope that it's going to, that spirit of total honesty will lead them to realize that, yeah, we actually didn't kill Joseph, that he wasn't killed by a wild animal. We lied about that. But he doesn't, but they don't get there. This, by the way, is an absolutely common psychological game that's used in lie detection, police in the Soviet Union and post-Soviet countries trying to pick up missionaries like myself and get truth out of them. They will put you in a difficult situation and then fire a load of questions at you that they know full well are, of course, false accusations, to watch your response and to try to lead you into a position where you are being totally honest. Because they'll fire questions like, oh yeah, so you said your father's name's Albert, I remember that question to me. I said, no, my father's name was Marcus. And they keep going on and say, oh, but you said his name was Albert. No, I said his name was Marcus. Okay, and then they go on to something else. What did you eat for breakfast this morning in the hotel and all this kind of thing. The idea is to lead you by a series of quick-fire questions into a point where you are being totally honest, and then they will hit you with the question that they know that you want to be less than honest about. You know, what were you doing in Krasnogorsk? Well, I was baptizing somebody. Whatever. And so this is what Joseph was doing to them. Not because he was a hard man, but because he wanted their total honesty. He wanted their repentance. He sought his brethren in the full sense of that. So then I want to make the point then that people can believe a narrative, like they believe this narrative about Joseph was killed. We had a younger brother, but he is not. He's not around anymore. He's dead. They can believe a narrative, and yet underneath, they may actually have a very deep conscience. And I want to go even further. And I want to say that, in my opinion, there is a hole in the heart of every human being, be they Muslim, atheist, whoever. And that hole in their heart and in their conscience is exactly shaped for Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, crucified and risen again and coming again. That is actually the answer. That is what they know in their deep subconscious. But on top of that, there is all this narrative, lies and self-deception and deception of other people that they've got on top of that. But beneath that, there is this hole in the heart. Now, when you preach the gospel then to somebody, they intuitively, I think, see the truth of it. And of course, they pretend they don't. And they may consciously think that they don't see the truth of it. But subconsciously, I think they do. Just like the brothers subconsciously, from the start, knew this was Joseph. And he's trying to work with them to elicit from them a complete recognition of him, to throw away the narratives and just be humble and openly accept that this is you and I am me and please forgive me. That's what he wanted. And when you preach the gospel to somebody, some people will more quickly accept that and then rejoice that, yeah, you filled the hole in my heart. What you said was right and, yeah, this is it. Other people still struggle to get in touch with their real self. The narratives they've spun for so many years are so ingrained and embedded within them that many of them don't ever get there. But don't think that people are not interested. This is also why, as you see from the scriptures and as you see from observed missionary experience today, that some people can say yes to the gospel very quickly. You know, 3,000 people in one day were validly baptized by Peter on the day of Pentecost, exactly on this basis. They spun themselves the narrative that Jesus was a false prophet and deserved to be killed and all that. And yet, within their hearts, there was this conscience about him. And Peter's sermon, just put it all into place. He appealed to them, and intuitively, yes, this is it. And they could say yes immediately. It's the same with the jailer in Philippi. It doesn't need a huge amount of time. If it does need a huge amount of time, well, it's because, like with the brothers, Joseph's brothers, they need time to sort of get rid of that now, all those narratives that they've chosen to consciously believe and accept, that which in their deepest conscience and heart of hearts, subconsciously, they know is true. So this is a huge encouragement to preach the gospel to all and everybody. And you will find success if you do this. Now, of course, people may not want to troop along to church, that's a different question, but they will say yes to Jesus if they can accept that, wow, this is actually what I wanted and believed and wanted to believe all along.